Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
Welcome to our show today, and I'm very delighted to share this hour with you. And we have got some topics that I've chosen for you that are brand new. And one of them is the libraries of the Tlavati that opened in Bermuda. They are the guardians, and they are the Tlavati, and I was absolutely delighted to find them because they seem to have disappeared through ancient histories, oral traditions, off the face of the earth. Nobody knew where the Tlavati had gone. And what's more, whether they had even survived. So I want to give you the history of the Tlavati and give you the importance of what it means to you that this library opened, because it's going to change the way that mind works. So let's first take a look at who the Tlavati was. The Tlavati became known to me through the oral traditions that all Toltec Nahuals like myself get as part of their training in becoming a Nahual. And so the Nahual traditions speak of the Tlavati as being part of the fifth root race of Lemuria. Now, on our last show, we spent a little bit of time speaking about the symbol of the serpent surrounding seven eggs as the sign for Lemuria. Lemuria had seven main islands, and on those islands, they had specific root races. And the fifth root race were called the Ra-Muhal. R-H-A-M-O-U-H-A-L. The Ra-Muhal became the Atlanteans. They migrated from there to the Atlanteans, to the islands that were Atlantis at that time. And as you can see in my book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, we show you the map and how Atlantis changed over the ages. There were cataclysms a million years ago, 800,000 years ago, 200,000 years ago, 75,000 years ago, and 9,564 years before the crucifixion of Christ. The crucifixion of Christ happened 2,025 years ago, as of 2008. So you add 2,028, and then you come up with, 25, and then you come up with 9,564. You add those two together, you have the exact date of the sinking of Atlantis. East Coast time in America, Toronto time, which is 3 hours later than Pacific time, it sank at roughly 5:25, that the last pieces of it went under in the afternoon. And so the Ra-Muhal moved from the fifth root race in Lemuria, and the Tlavati were part of that root race. It's very, very interesting that the Tlavati, well, they became known as the Ra-Muhal once they had moved to Atlantis. But when they were initially the fifth root race, they were called the Barishats. The entire race was the Barishats, B-A-R-I-S-H-A-D-S. Then a portion of them moved to Atlantis, became the Atlanteans, which were called the Ra-Muhal. And you will see in a minute where the word Atlantis comes from. And the Blavatsky moved with them, and they were the priest caste, if you will. They only intermarried among themselves because what they did is at moments of death, they moved the life force center, which at that time was located behind the belly button. Only recently has it been in the heart. And it moves up from the belly button, right before moments of death, they move it into the third eye. And when it moves to the third eye, they retain memory from lifetime to lifetime. This can be done with anybody, but be aware that as of May 2007, the Divine Mother and Father moved everybody's life force centers up to the heart. So when, you know, they were intermarrying, keeping themselves separate from the rest of the Lemurians, because they said that they came from the stars and that their mission was to lead the Earth, which was the way shower and the pivot point of the cosmos, back to higher levels so that all life could ascend. Something that has happened, and it started in February of 2005. So what we have now is that the Blavatsky, as the priest caste, their leader was known as Wise Atl, Atl Na. Na, as in Na Gual, Na stands for wisdom or wise. And they say, Hananat Tla Mishna Ramuhal Nineshvi, to the land of the Ramuhal, which is Atlantis, we carried the pearl. We'll see what this pearl has to do with you and me in a little bit. Slavati Mishtaninet Pfa Ra'u Nanit Ba'atlna. A band of brave Slavati. Their leader was named Wise Atl. Now, interesting that their leader, the word leader in the ancient Lemurian language is referred to as Pfa, P-S, Pfa Ra'u, which is like Pharaoh. The origin of the word Pharaoh comes from the Lemurian word Pharaoh, which is leader. And so they say that underneath, what they say, the pearl of great price, laughing waters, the key is the music of laughter and joy and happy heart. We will see what this pearl is that they're speaking of, but let's examine their history a little bit better. So they say that they came from the stars, they became part of but didn't intermarry with the Lemurian root race of the Barishads, that a major part of the Barishads became the Ramuhal, which seeded the islands that became Atlantis. Now, one of the reasons that I have tackled this particular subject, my brothers and sisters of light, is that today is the day that they, one of them has all night long tried to speak to me. And so he's been trying to speak, and I thought what I would do is, because I didn't have time to deal with it this morning, is that I would have him speak over the phone with you. And, of course, I will have to speak his words that I hear in my head, and then I will translate them, and we can have a conversation with him. Because it's just a rare opportunity. I'm so delighted, because it is, of course, as a Nagual in the Toltec mystical traditions, and these traditions are dedicated to impeccability and the proper use of power, and to set others free from illusion is the vow, basically, that a Nagua takes. And so to find the Tlavati, who were the original Naguals that came to this planet, you know, and of course in the Unicorn book, The Gift of the Unicorns, in the history of the cycles, it speaks about the Holy Mother being the one that starts the Toltec way, because of the fact that she could see the fall coming, and she wanted the impeccability of the masculine warriorship at the time, and masculine meaning the way you deal with the outer world. She wanted it preserved. In August of 2006, the Toltec Way became a feminine warriorship in that it no longer concerned itself with the exterior other than as mirrors of the interior, which is a major shift, 180-degree turnaround. So we, the Blavati in the ancient days went under their leader, whose name was Atl, and you know how Atlas held up the world. Atl's very devout pledge was that he would try and balance good and illusion so that the Earth's axis would remain stable. Because the Earth has done some very dramatic shifts. And we read in The Gift of the Unicorns that one of the shifts was very gradual. And it was quite a dramatic shift, but because it happened so gradually, people didn't really know it. You know, the astronomers, I'm sure did, but the average person in the street didn't see it as a major cataclysm. So, when people are computing ancient astronomy, they must take these shifts into consideration, knowing when they happened, or they will come up with the wrong dates. But be that as it may, the Atl led his band there, and they lived in Atlantis at the time in what was called the Emerald City, because there was an emerald-like substance that the gates were made of, and there were the city was primarily of gold and crystal. It was exquisitely beautiful according to the ancient traditions, and it was the place where Atl ruled from in Atlantis. What happened then is that a group of Orions, and again, this history I've discussed on one of the previous shows, but I've also given, as I received it from the history keepers in The Gift of the Unicorns, a group of beings came in from Orion. And they brought with them black magic. And they traded this black magic, which was ritual-based. It was not the black magic that came from the trauma of emotion, such as blood sacrifice. That came from another source. But this black magic, called First Ring Magic by the ancient Toltecs, came amongst men. And also, what they had at that time is a barter system. Cities were dedicated. It was like a caste system, in that if all the artists lived in one place, all the scientists lived in one place, those who produced the farming things, such as grain, things like that, you know, vegetables, they all lived in one place. But unfortunately, as this black magic came among them, darkness grew in Atlantis, and although the Tlavati and their leader, Atl, and some of the Ramuhal that wanted to live a life of impeccability, who went followed their philosophies as spiritual leaders, tried very hard to keep the balance, but arrogance arose. Those with crucial supplies that everybody had to have became controlling, feeling very powerful as a result. They demanded more of this and more of that because they held the crucial supplies. Others, like artists that didn't have, you know, very crucial supplies, but nevertheless something of great worth, became devalued. And so an imbalance was formed upon the land, and warfare broke out as they challenged even the Emerald City itself. Atl could see this coming, and the band of faithful Toltecs, and Ta'altaka means givers to all of teachings or learning or wisdom, if you will. Naga is actually the giver of wisdom. But we have them going to the Rockies. And in the Rockies here in North America, they set up their mystery school. They could see there was going to be a tilt. They went into the earth, and there are caverns that go into the earth in the Rockies that some of the native shamans have known about. And so they go into these, they go into the caverns because they can see that with the black magic, the inevitable is going to happen. Every time black magic is practiced, where it has been allowed to work, the earth, as a result, has lost her tilt and tilted sideways. So, my brothers and sisters, the earth tilt did happen because black magic came. And the Toltecs hid in their caverns so they could survive such a cataclysm. Let's take a quick break, and we'll talk more about it when we come back.
Almian continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
And so what occurred was a horrific tragedy. The islands of Atlantis sank, and at this time, and this was 800,000 years ago, the islands of Atlantis sank. There was a rather large landmass, much further north than we generally think, really equal to the Northern American hemisphere, continent. However, North America was very much still underwater. Just pieces of it were around the rim were visible above the water. But after it sank, Atlantis reemerged, and it came in the form of multiple islands. The Atlantic Ocean was dotted with islands. And some of the ancient traditions of Britain and Ireland came to them as part of this Atlantean empire of islands in the Atlantis and in the Atlantic. And interestingly enough, that the Atlantic also, of course, is named after Atlantis, but all of it named after the Toltec leader, Otto. And so, my brothers and sisters, at this point, there was blatant animosity. They resettled the land as the what's called the White Toltecs. But at this time, a band of black magicians arose, and they were called the Black Toltecs. And they preyed upon the people. They were self-serving and so on. And the White Toltecs managed to keep the balance of the earth by doing the following. In conjunction with some who still were left behind in Lemuria, on that fifth island or landmass of the Barishads that stayed behind, organized a massive missionary effort. And they went two by two. Mostly, they were brothers. And the brothers, whether blood brothers or not, but they were called brothers. And two by two, they went around the earth spreading the doctrine, if you will, the teaching of impeccability, of always choosing according to your highest truth. It's very fascinating that the sort of Mormon empire that has been built worldwide has followed this as a tradition. Perhaps they have records that we don't know about, but this is certainly the Lemurian way of proselyting, if you will, and spreading light. And so the Lemurians had a dramatically large library in Lemuria. When Lemuria finally sank, which was not that long ago, comparatively speaking, when Lemuria finally sank, due to the fact that these gas lines that ran underneath the land, thin little tubes of gas, natural gas, ignited, and the islands went off one by one, and they gradually sank under the water. And the Hopi speak of them coming from the land masses and seeing it sink behind them as they moved from one landmass to the other until they finally settled in the southern part of the United States as it became dry and visible. So the libraries of Lemuria became, in fact, the source that they used for that which they taught. And on the libraries was the information about the mother, and that the mother is, in fact, the supreme being, that she created the father, and so on. They took these teachings and teachings of the Toltec way all over the world and created temples which they called Kaldi. K-A-L-D-I or C-H-A-L-D-I. If you remember, the Israelites were taken captive by the Chaldeans, C-H-A-L-D-E-A-N-S, and they went to their land of Ur, U-R. Ur means light. Chaldeans stand for the Kaldi, walls. Kaldi in the Lemurian language means walls. These wall temples had arisen all over Chaldea, and so that's where their name comes from. And the important thing of it is to us, you know, in looking at the Bible, the books written by Moses, he studied the language of the Naga. They spoke and taught the Naga language. They provided the most sophisticated education that they can, and it was open to prince and slave alike. When you walked behind those Kaldi or walls of their temples, the Toltec Nahuals that came to teach were, in fact, treating everybody as equal. This is a language that Moses, no doubt, would have, Moses knew. So if he wrote the first five books in that Naga language, nobody would have been able to translate it when the great Exodus happened out of Egypt until the time when Ezra was the prophet at the time, and they were in Chaldea captive. Well, as a captive, as a slave, if your master didn't demand your moments, there was a place you could go where you could be treated with dignity and respect. It was behind those Kaldi in the temples of learning. So Ezra learned the Nahua language and was able to translate the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible written by Moses. And the Toltecs, by these massive missionary efforts, because they had begun to realize that just based on their civilization, they couldn't keep stability to the Earth's axis, managed to delay the next catastrophic occurrence for roughly 600,000 years by taking all this information all over the world. For instance, they took it to the easternmost tip of Asia, right there where the land bridge starts that goes to Alaska from Russia. they had temples there. They had them further south as well. And when a major flood happened, which it did, when the earth tilted, the flood produced a flood that flowed from south to north in the Pacific Ocean. And it is said that it flowed from north to south in the Atlantic Ocean. In the Pacific Ocean, the flood created about 30 feet of mud over this place where they had their sacred records. It also created a total deluge that flooded most of Lemuria, but it survived enough, and some of it rose above the land, that they recovered until 75,000 BC, when another major flood hit. But when that happened, it washed away much of what they had. When the flood came down, according to the oral traditions of Nahuals, when it came down from the north to the south, washing over Atlantean, over all those islands, it brought a wall of ice with it, and it brought also some debris. So it brought trees and mammoths and things like that going downwards. It is said by the Nahua that one of the islands, and I don't remember what is St. Rupert's Island or something, I cannot remember exactly which one, but that the entire island, which is in that land bridge between the Alaska and Russia, it's called the Aleutian Islands, that one entire island is made up of mammoth bones, washed off the face of the land and gathered there together. And that island is made up of their bones and then, of course, filled with soil and debris. So the Nahuals that went all over the earth to keep 600 years of peace in terms of no major cataclysms took a set of records to India as well. They came into India from the north, according to the oral traditions of the Nahuals. They came in through Nepal. And they brought a set of records, which they then duplicated in six more times, creating the holy cities, the Rishi cities of India. And some of these still have, buried under the ground or in hidden repositories, some of the ancient texts. Where you can find these Naga records or Nahuals records intact is in Nepal, if you're up to it, very high up in the Kanasa libraries. I think you spell it K-H-A-N-A-S-S-A, libraries. It is still there. The priests officiating know the ancient Naga language and can teach it, if that is where you wish to go. I believe it's about 19,000 above sea level. Bear with us, we've got some commercials coming up for you, and we'll be back.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Well, the Tlavati, who sent their missionary efforts out with their brothers and sisters that came from their homeland, their original homeland, did in fact not manage to keep the stability as the darkness upon the land grew, because this was a time when the earth herself was in a descension. The reasons why we've given in the gift of the unicorns. So what we have at this time is that in about 75,000 BC, a massive catastrophe hit the earth. I believe that that was the one that was caused by a very large meteorite or a piece of a comet. And it hit the earth, and Atlantis, as multiple islands, as it had been, sank. And what ended up in its stead... Well, actually, we had the multiple islands between 800,000 B.C. and 200,000 B.C. There was a catastrophe then, and we then had two islands come up. And the islands that came up was known as Ruta, and that was the place of the black magicians practicing black, what they called what, black warriorship. And there's something interesting that I want to share with you connected with that, because it concerns where the other black magic came from. But there was, Ruta was the place of great darkness. There was another major landmass. These two land masses existed between 75,000 years ago and 200,000 years ago. Ruta and Itaya. Itaya was governed by two Toltecs, I and Taya. And so Itaya is the place of the white Toltecs and the black Toltecs. There was continual warfare that happened. And the warfare that happened included shooting down the firmament. The firmament was a thin layer of ice that went around the earth and did, in fact, have two layers to it, around about 30,000 feet and a little bit less than 40,000 feet above the earth. There was a layer of ice that made it that there was a relatively stable climate, because it was a bit like living in a greenhouse or what you call a hothouse. And so at that time, warfare abounded. They were shooting down pieces of the firmament, flooding out their neighbors, and this went on with warfare all over the earth. And there was a time when there was a major flood above the Mesopotamia area. There were also pieces of Lemuria that they tried to flood out. There was a group in Patagonia that they flooded out because of trade disputes. They took basically the trade away from Atlantis and from Lemuria. And so we had tremendous warfare. But in addition to the technologies that were being used, the Toltec oral traditions speak of horrific black magic warfare, where they would cast mountains upon cities with their tremendous black magic that they had. Now, my brothers and sisters, this is interesting, because ritualistic first ring magic is limited. It can do some, but it can't do that much. it certainly cannot cast mountains on cities. So where does such black magic come from? Well, at that time, they had actually learned how to let out some of the major demons from the underworld. It speaks about the creation of the underworld in the Gift of the Unicorns, in that Mother herself created the underworld to embody some of the chaos and lock it away because of the fact that the chaos was spilling over into the world of men and creating havoc with the environment, the weather patterns, the earth herself. So to embody it in an underworld created some order and the earth started to rise. However, these black Toltecs had learned, there were two places they were getting magic bad enough to be able to toss mountains on cities. One place was from the demons in the underworld that would work at their disposal. My brothers and sisters, in the days when we had those, because we don't have them anymore, that is the blessing of the ascension that we've been on. On Earth, there were two sets of demons, and I know, because a part of my duty as a mother was that she sent me into the underworlds on Earth. The one set of demons were the ones that were created and embodied the Earth's chaos. They were the Luciferian hordes. There was another set of demons that I doubt very much that these beings were able to access, but perhaps they were. And there was only 16 of them. But they had come from a Sirian planet in the star system of Sirius that had exploded. And these demons and others of their kind at that time had roamed the cosmos. These 16 found the Earth, and they found a level of life in which there was no other life, a dimension where nothing else existed, no other beings, no unicorns, no dragons, nothing. And they inhabited that. And we encountered them as we went up in the ascension. The awful story of how that happened, but fascinating nevertheless, because it gave me such lessons. It gave me the lessons that you cannot negotiate with madness, because they were holding my assistants hostage. And they were very, very powerful. If the Dark Toltecs had managed to get those demons, for sure it would have been disastrous, the effects that they would have had. And so the warfare got very bad. It was just a matter of time. The Toltecs set up mystery schools in the Caucasus Mountains, down near Lake Titicaca. They set up, they set them up again in the Rocky Mountains and multiple other places where they went for refuges. They were starting to create refuges, moving their records. They could see that no good was going to come from this. Ruta and Itaya was in constant warfare, on and off, since 5,000 B.C. and 200,000 B.C. back. So my brothers and sisters, finally 75,000 B.C., massive thing happened, and this is where it gets interesting. After that cataclysm, flooding the earth, big earth tilt again from the black magic, after that happened, nobody knew where the Tlavati went. And now we found the Tlavati. The Tlavati were in the libraries, called after them, the libraries of the Tlavati. Their symbol is a starfish. The five, no doubt, reminded them that they came from the fifth root race, because the starfish is in a circle, and it's halfway submerged in wavy lines, which is the ocean. And so we have a situation where they have been guarding these sacred libraries. Libraries are like a time capsule, and they do not perish, nor do they bring any allow any of the tainting of the world to enter them. So let's take a small break, and we will see when we get back about the Tlavati we have just discovered.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Al Mean experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Helmi's life was dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Al Mean's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The first transmission that came from the Tlavati after the library opened, and the library is in Bermuda, said, Ki Anawa, Abu Seti, Amaki, Amaki. We praise the Holy Mother, Holy Mother. Ka'esh Aton Awe, Ka Anawe. To the Master's greetings, we bring greetings. Now, it's really strange, but the North American Indian nations also have the way, or way aho, and so on, as greeting, or hello, or aweya, or weyaho, like gaya weho means earth, we greet you. So the way is a greeting, and it comes from the Lemurian language. Te anawe, kretu bi ashnu pa eleverput, to you greetings who shall read these words of joy. Kriya se esnu, our hearts are filled. Shi ete ashanama, bri eshnu ke elenu ki eshva vereta. The advent of the Holy Mother, who brings all creations to ascended heights. And they continue to speak to us. They say, we are entrusted with a great task. Those of us dedicated to impeccability were the Tlavati. And then the next sentence is translated, say, we are the ones who kept the wisdom alive, the seekers of truth and the keepers of the sacred. Gnanut aravirath chanus, tle uvravi pararet, plalalak uhesht vranu selva virit nahva. We use the symbol of the starfish. It reminds us of the homeland and the fifth race. Karak spa, gresh ni nanuras, pla ustava kranat, ku urarat tele shalmali, shalmali is Lemuria, tra Ra Mual Nasta. We were part of this fifth root race, yet apart, in the land of Shalmali. Then we were among the Ramuhal. And then they say, we are called the Toltecs. Then we moved to the Red Land. The Red Land is the land of Ramuhal. The Red Land is Atlantis. And after it sank in 75,000 BC, until its last sinking, it was known as Poseidonis. And it was called the Land of the Red Sand by many of the native tribes. Some of them had some of this red soil, and they're the southern tribes. Some of the Apache bands had red soil from Atlantis. In Mother's Light, we lived and praise the Mother. Ancient libraries, we are custodians of and more. The Mother gave us the Great Pearl to guard. The Great Pearl has been hidden by the Toltecs since before the libraries were created. The Mother had placed all knowledge in a large pearl and had entrusted it to our care. Her omniscience we keep. Now we give it back. Look for it in the Seed Cave, guarded by the Black Serpent. It is not in the libraries. And my brothers and sisters, this is something that's very pertinent to all of us, this pearl of great wisdom. You see, the Infinite Mother and Father have never needed external sources to keep things for them. But they allow them to keep things so that it would remind them, as the Great Awakening or Ascension happens, so that it reminds them that they need to themselves turn them on or do something with them. Example, when I took a look last night, because I had many, many more glyphs coming in, the Tlavati glyphs are exquisite. They look like various blooming flowers, and every flower is really a sentence. It's floral in design, it's organic in design. I'm not really resembling a flower, but flower-like. And you know, the oracles are receiving them, and day and night I've been trying to catch up on all these glyphs coming in. Last night they explained that the pearl of great price that had Mother's all-knowingness, her omniscience, in it, was given to them before they even came among the Lemurians. And that it was only later that the sacred libraries in Bermuda, which was then a part of Atlantis, were created by the Mother, and they became guardians there. And they're saying that they hid the pearl, not in the libraries, but they hid it actually in a grotto, in a cave. That's a sea cave, and they gave us the glyphs. They said, this is the symbol you will see, and when you see this symbol, it is underneath that symbol. The pearl that was restored to Mother of Omniscience reminded her that as she awakened from being in that descended state, that she needed to awaken a specific group of cells in the pineal called the Pearl of Great Worth. Now, some places it's called the Pearl of Great Price. But the words that they're using here, It's Kanach Cha Vatani, that translates to the Pearl of Great Worth. It's a delight for me to hear their language because it's one of the first languages to speak. So, my brothers and sisters, what that means for the rest of us is that this Pearl of Great Worth is, in fact, inside each of our pineal glands. We are the microcosm of the macrocosm. And the microcosm of the macrocosm is going to have everything that Mother has, we're going to have within as well. When Mother turned on that omniscience section, like a little pearl, inside the pineal gland, a cluster of cells, all knowledge becomes ours as well. We have to take time to listen. We have to take time to trust what it is that's coming our way. And we have to have the confidence to act upon that wisdom. So often we leave the house and it says, take your umbrella. We say, no, it's absolutely crystal clear. Why do I need an umbrella? And then, of course, we get drenched coming home from work. because we didn't take an umbrella, and then we say, oh, I heard that. Yes, but next time it does the same thing, and do we then take the umbrella? It's important that we act upon the wisdom. And so that wisdom was turned on. It makes it more important than ever for us to not listen to what others tell us is the truth, but to know it from within. Take words that you hear, not at face value. I speak many things that none of you have heard before. I'm very aware of that. To take it at face value is to make a mistake. You believe without believing. You accept without accepting. Then you ask, and the cosmos will confirm it to you, unless there is an immediate recognition of it in your heart. And that recognition is effortless knowing. So, where else could such black magic have been gotten? The black magic during those earlier incidents came from a set of large black serpents, according to the glyphs on the walls of the ancient ruins of Chichen Itza in Mexico. It says that black magic in the form of blood sacrifice came from the stars and from these black serpents. So we have recently had a very fascinating interaction with them. If you will recall, it was either on last week's show or one of the others, that there were large serpents that were coming out of the Serpent Mound libraries that we opened in the middle of March 2008. And the libraries of the Serpent Mound, when they opened, these large serpents started to appear to the various oracles and giving them information. And I explained how they connected with the libraries of the serpent and also the libraries of other areas because of their knowledge of astronomy. They originally came from the serpent stars, which we know as the Pleiades. When the Earth moved through that star system, and you can read how that occurred in the Gift of the Unicorns. Now, we had last night a situation where one of the oracles received a visit. She said, I saw the serpent Anahna, and the C-H is pronounced as an H, really. A-N-A-C-H is Anahna. And she said the following. Serpents of light were given assignments by the Holy Mother and Father to eliminate huge serpents of the dark under the crust of the earth. Two ancient serpents from China, India, and a young serpent in South Africa. They were found and eliminated by the serpents of light. And she said that she asked Anahna questions. Why were they eliminated and what did they do? They were creating illusion of suffering in the web of existence that affected people not only in these countries, but everywhere on earth. They also were very distorted. They had special talent for hiding, and only serpents of light could locate them. And then the oracle writes, so they are no more, gone. What happened to them? Nothing is left of them except precious jewels called diamonds. Are the diamonds distorted? We will purify these diamonds with our special ability, with light, and they will be very valuable, but not for jewelry. No one shall use them for decorations or prestige. I asked the mother after this had happened what they are to be used for, and she said that they are, in fact, seer stones. They are not just ordinary diamonds. They are seer stones. You can with them translate any language. You can see anything in the cosmos that you need to other than through mother and father's shields. And I asked mother, I said, how did these serpents of distortion survive? And mother said, because three distortions among my children survived. Are there three, and do they make life harder than necessary? Yes. The first one is the habit of anticipating the future instead of enjoying the moment. You are sad the day before you have to travel and leave your daughter. And I asked her, I said, and the other habits we need to eliminate? And she said, you look at resources of today and envision that the future has to be planned around today's resources. Exponential increases in supply comes to those who trust that their being can call it forth. And the third one, the workload, as you call it, tends to be measured in chunks. You think you have a chapter to write or a month's worth of work, and then feel fatigued when the only work you have is one moment's worth at a time. And I thanked the mother, but these things permitted these three snakes to survive. And these three snakes are the ancient ones particularly brought blood sacrifice to the planet and were sent by one of the dark imposter gods that existed at a time when there was still illusion within the cosmos. So, my beloved ones, we are actually drawing to a close here. I have much more I wish to share with you, but it'll have to wait for another time. Much love to you, and thank you so much for joining me.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Almeen. Please join us again next week.